Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in today. Don't know if you know this, but November is National Adoption Month. We're going to hear how God brought little Annie into the Smalley family. I'd say 1 to 2 times a month, we get Aaron and or Greg Smalley on the show. I always love talking with them. We usually take your relationship questions. We're actually going to do that at the top of the hour, grab a couple questions that we didn't get to last time they were on. But just in honor of Adoption Month, you're going to hear an amazing story of their process of adopting Annie, how that dream was first born in their heart, what they learned along the way, and there's an amazing parallel that they make between their adoption of Annie and our adoption as sons and daughters into the kingdom of God, into God's family. So I really can't wait to talk with these friends. I love chatting with them every time I get a chance. So let me tell you about them. Dr. Greg serves as Executive Director of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family. His dear wife, Erin, is Program Director at Focus on the Family. She's an author and speaker as well. She works alongside her hubby, and they do marriage intensives and seminars. And if you need a couple to come out and do a marriage seminar, they're hilarious and they're full of content. So you got to check them out, right? They both live, of course, because they live together. They live in Colorado with their three daughters, Taylor, Murphy, and Annie, and their son, Garrison. You can find their influencer page on the web at myfaithradio.com. Dr. Greg and Erin, welcome back to the program.
Hey, it's so good to be back with you.
Always is great.
I always love chatting with you. And Greg, you didn't stress me out at all. I just want you to know. While I'm introducing him, the shadow shows up on the screen. There he is.
Yes.
But we were
I'm
ready.
Literally in a meeting going, now someone tell me when it's 3. They're like, it's 3:04. And I went, what? I think I'm supposed to be on the radio right now.
Because
sorry,
I'm a mature
friends.
Christian, I was able to do Lamaze breathing and focus.
Well, and you have a former labor and delivery nurse exactly. here to help you with that.
Yes.
Notice I use that technique frequently in my life.
People need to know Lamaze isn't just for childbirth. I'm just saying.
No.
So, yes. But you know what? Erin was totally prepared to carry the whole show. So I just saying.
Yeah.
So, Greg, I was saying before you got here, actually, but I was kidding. I was saying we had some questions that came in that we weren't able to answer last time you were on. So after we talk about your opening passage, if you don't mind, we want to get to those listener questions, just 2 of them, and then we'll talk about Annie's adoption story, if that's all right with you.
I love it. Okay. That actually is what I wanted to do.
Well,
so.
Good.
You were hoping.
And funny. Here we are doing that.
Funny how things just work out for the Smalleys. I love it. Okay, so the passage you guys chose was Galatians 4, verses 5 and 7. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us into his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you're his child, he has made you his heir. Erin, let's start with you. Talk about your thoughts on that passage.
I just love this scripture. And it, you know, as you read about what the Father does for us, it just makes me think of how in so many ways Annie has done that with us, that she now calls us mom and dad, just as we call, you know, our Heavenly Father daddy. Mm. And I love that the Holy Spirit is in us, that he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit to prompt us to call out to him. And then he considers us his heirs. We are his fully, just as Annie is fully ours.
And, you know, we're going to get into this story. I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but I know there was a period of time of adjustment where it was probably hard for her to believe that she was grafted into such a family. And I think lots of Christians live a long time with a certain suspicion around, am I really a part of this family? Are you going to turn your back at any time? Am I, are you going to send me away? I mean, have you thought about that for your own life, Erin, as you've considered the process of Annie really coming to accept that she's yours?
Yes. And, you know, the interesting thing, just recently I had a conversation at a Bible study about the importance or the absolute unreal part of being grafted, of having a skin graft, even that you, when they do a skin graft, they take skin from another part of the body and they graft it onto something, an area where it's not supposed to be. Yet if you take good care of it and you nurture it, it becomes one. It becomes the skin of that original part of the body is there.
Amazing.
And it heals. In just the same way, Annie came to us, you know, not from my physical body, but the Lord brought her to us, and standing firm and nurturing and caring for her and her heart, that she became part of me, part of our family, that she was grafted into our family, just as we are into the Lord's family, into the Heavenly Father, into His family.
And I can attest, having been out there and actually having danced with the girl, I've danced with Annie on the Smalley deck. She walks and she talks like a Smalley. I'm just saying.
Yes, she does.
She's a Smalley.
In every way, shape, and form.
So, dear Greg, you talk about that passage. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, when this was written, so when Paul wrote this, see, very different culture around adoption would have brought up very different feelings and awareness that it does in our day and age. See, back when this was written, adoption was so common that oftentimes you know, a wealthier family would adopt a child from a poverty, you know, family, just lower family, and this would be cause for celebration. And literally they would adopt basically the entire family that this child would be coming from. And so when the Galatians would have, you know, seen this and heard those words, they would have instantly got it. They would have understood a part of that you are now his heir. And, you know, I mean, it's just there's so much more to it that just looking at it historically has made more sense to me. Because we hear that word adoption, and quite frankly, and I hate this, but I think it's fair to say that conjures up a lot of negative, you know, a child that was unwanted, you know, a child maybe out of the foster care. It has a very different meaning than it did back then. And I love that. I love to watch. We were watching a movie last night as a family. We had a snow day. And our first blizzard of the year. And Annie was sitting right next to me. Well, our son Garrison came over and he's like, "Hey, that's my dad." And he's just messing with her. And he kind of puts his hand on me and grabs my hand. And I loved it that she looked at him. You know, Garrison's big. He's what, taller than me now?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really that tall, but I'm just saying he's big.
Yeah,
he's a big
is.
Kid. And she, little Annie, just looked right at him and took his, grabbed his hand and just flung it and said, "No, this is my dad."
Mm.
And just kind of claimed and owned that she was in my lap first, and she has every right as my daughter to be in that spot,
didn't
matter
it.
Biologically or not. Mm. But yep. I just love watching
yeah,
when
the
she
sibling
does that.
Rivalry issue is another show that we could do.
But I mean, truly, you think about it, there wasn't even a flinch for her, though. It's like, no, this is settled for me. I know.
Yeah.
I know who I belong to.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. I can't wait to have our friends and our listeners hear this amazing story. But this anonymous listener wrote in last time or called in last time, and we weren't able to get to it. Says, "I'm wondering if you have any advice regarding marriage to an alcoholic. There isn't any trust, and it can be very sad and difficult. We've been married for 28 years. I'm trying to respect my marriage vows, but would really appreciate some marriage advice. What say you?"
You know, it's tough to be in that situation. And so what I'm about to say, I don't say without, you know, just going, "Wow, 28 years, you're my hero. You've stayed in this. You are trying every way to honor your vows." Don't confuse that with staying stuck in a system that's dysfunctional, not working anymore. In you know, Aaron and I have a system. And our marriage system likes to work in one way. And when one of us maybe goes to get help, you know, Aaron and I have done intensives and we've done these counseling things to where we're trying to grow. And what's always true is that when someone tries to get healthier, your system will try to draw you back into what's called homeostasis. And the system doesn't want to change. And so my encouragement to her would be, absolutely honor your marriage vows, but don't keep existing and doing the same old, same old. Don't keep going around in the same patterns, doing the same thing, expecting to get different results. Have the courage to say, this system is no longer working for me at all, and I'm not going to be a part of it, and we need to get help, and we're going to do that now, and or whatever whatever those boundaries would need to be. Don't just keep spinning around in the same system. If that means you need to be courageous to say, we need to go for a time of separation, I'm serious. Sometimes it's going to take something extreme to jar a system out of the alignment, out of the well-worn patterns, and be courageous and have your support system think that through. What would that look like? Mm. What was one thing I could do today that would be different than what I've been doing for the last 28 years?
I love that advice, because you're honoring her staying power, but you're saying don't stay stuck in a system.
No.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of when you've talked about like the tennis analogy of serve it in a different way. If you put a different spin on the ball, it already automatically forces a different response from the other player.
Aaron, it was actually ping pong.
Oh,
but,
sorry.
You know, I mean,
yeah, I'm trying to imagine you on the tennis court. Never mind.
with my white skirt, my white kilt on.
I actually can't picture that, but anyway.
I don't want to picture that either.
Yeah. What do you say, Aaron?
Yeah, I love what Greg was saying, and I couldn't agree more that, I mean, wow, that is amazing to stay in a relationship for 28 years that's hard. And, you know, there's so many marriage relationships that are just stinking hard. And, you know, it's amazing the resilience that couples have. But as exactly as Greg's saying, don't be complacent. Don't stay in something because you're just used to it. And, you know, I'm not advocating for divorce. I'm advocating for setting a boundary that's going to cause things to change. Mm. You know, no longer is this behavior acceptable in this marriage relationship. Thus, you either go and you get help, or we're going to separate until you do get help. I love you. I'm committed to you, but I want this to be a healthy marriage, and I'm not willing to settle any longer.
Love that.
Can I pray for this?
Please,
marriage?
I would love that.
And I want to pray Joshua 1:9 specifically. So for the person who wrote this, here's Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. My prayer, our prayer, is that you do be strong, be courageous to break, do one thing different. Don't keep spinning around the well-worn path. Do something different. But the cool part is you go with God. He's there. He's fighting for you. He's fighting for your marriage. He's fighting for your husband. And maybe what he's calling you to do is to break what's been happening for 28, 26, whatever it is, years, and be strong and courageous in doing that. And my prayer is that you have the support system who will walk with you in this very thing. And, man, I can't wait, maybe a year from now even, that we get a call and we get to celebrate as we hear the story of how God has restored individuals, has restored this marriage to what he has for you. It's in your precious name we pray, God. Amen.
Amen. Talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, in a moment we're going to hear the amazing story of their journey adopting dear little Annie. There is one more listener question we're going to tackle. This mom is concerned about her daughter getting married soon because her fiancé doesn't seem to be leaving his family and cleaving to the daughter because he's impacted by the family money, his family's money. So that's just setting you guys up to be thinking about that. We'll tackle that question, then we'll start to listen to this amazing story of Annie and her dear adoption into the Smalley family. More with the Smalleys when we come back. Both hours today on Live the Promise are all about the story that God is writing on our hearts. And he takes us on twists and turns, things we don't always expect. But he's always faithful, always good, and he always gives us grace to go where he sends us. Talking to our dear friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley today. As I said at the beginning of the show, we're covering a couple of listener questions we didn't get to last time they were on. But then we're going to hear stories. Speaking of stories, their adoption story, absolutely amazing. So the second question, you guys, is in another anonymous question. It says it's from a concerned mom, and she writes, "My daughter is getting married soon, and I'm concerned about her fiancé leaving his family and cleaving to our daughter because he is manipulated by their money. What would you say to this?"
You know, it's an interesting question because we really dealt with some of the just similar system issues when we first got married, that Greg was so close with his family, worked with his family, and so thus coming together in a marriage with me was, you know, provided some challenges. And recently we came across research that shows that it really, the health of that marriage is going to be based on how the man separates from his family. If it's a healthy separation, that will influence the new marriage relationship deeply. It's the inverse isn't true with the woman. It doesn't impact how close she is with her family or how she separates from her family. Hmm. It's all based on how does that man separate from his parents, which we felt a lot of the pain of that.
Why is that, though? Absolutely. I mean, take a best guess. I mean, I've seen that. You know, it seems daughters will and can stay close to their family, mm-hmm. and it's a source of support, and it seems like in a healthy way most of the time. But why is that same connection not so healthy with the sons?
Yeah, I would. One, it's interesting when you see the verse. That what is the verse saying? That a man shall leave his mother and father, mm-hmm. and cleave to his wife. I don't think that's a general gender neutral verse. You know, sometimes we like to rewrite the scripture to be gender neutral, and there's good examples of when I think that's very appropriate. I would say that this is very deliberate, that there's something about a man's ability to separate, individuate, leave, and really bond, cleave with his wife that's so important. And I blew that, and I didn't understand that. And biggest mistake that I made, if I could, it's, you know, there's several things that if I could go back and do them over again, within our young marriage, you know, 20 some years ago, I would do, and that's one of them. What I would do differently is when we got married, I took my wife on a big, huge month-long family trip with the rest of my family to Europe. And the dumbest thing I ever did in my life, because it was disastrous, and I wasn't leaving. I was still operating as a son, as within the system, and it was too difficult for us to do that. And so I would say in this, that's a huge red flag. You know,
but it's tricky for her, this mom, because mm-hmm. she's the mom of the daughter.
Yeah, I know. You know, it is tricky, and that's why I think she's right on. And so I'd say your motherly intuition in health, relationally wise, is smack on. You have to really be careful with that. Mm-hmm. I think what she does is she can definitely have that conversation with her daughter and just say, you know what, maybe some of the things that I learned, this is what I wish I would have done differently. And yet at the end of the day, she needs to let that be mm-hmm. her daughter's choice. Mm-hmm. Now, are they married yet, or are they dating?
No, they're engaged. Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, so it all depends on what type of relationship do they have. Is this daughter asking for, you know, the wisdom, the advice of mom? Mm. If she is, then definitely I would talk about that. I think she's right on. Otherwise, man, pray them up constantly.
That's right.
You know, she could even maybe approach it as, you know, what she could almost see this idea of some separation by inviting those questions between her and her daughter by saying, you know, I know that you need time alone with your husband. I know your priority needs to be your husband. How can I help do that the best? What can I do? How can I encourage that? Mm-hmm. So it's almost like she could seed some of that mm-hmm. to maybe that.
That's really,
you know,
great.
They think about it on the other side mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. That's a minefield.
Really tricky one.
But at the same time, I mean, you know, be willing to ask some hard questions and back out of it if the daughter's not responsive. That's a tough one.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think your next book should be titled Dear Younger Me, and
ooh.
I think you should go back, right? I mean, when you're talking, Greg, I'm thinking of things I wish so bad I would have done differently,
yeah.
But in our youthfulness and our immaturity, yeah. and where our emotions seem to rule the day at times when we're younger,
that's
like
a really
that,
good idea.
It is, and mm-hmm. maybe you interview some of your brilliant friends I'm totally kidding. But I mean, you guys.
Oh, you meant you. Oh.
Do you have any of those?
I didn't really.
Do you have any brilliant friends?
I see what you're getting at.
Yeah, no.
That's a
but
great idea.
It really is. Right. Write that down, seriously, because I think.
I just wrote it down.
Yeah. I think about, you know, finances, faith, friendships. I mean, there's so many times we all reinvent the wheel. And if there was some wisdom handed down to leaving and cleaving, you know, just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, off topic,
leaving
but there
the
you go.
Little Debbie's alone.
Come on now. Yeah.
The little cupcakes.
I wouldn't buy stock in Little Debbie's. All right. So.
I wouldn't become addicted to the Nutter Butters.
Nobody's going to relate to that chapter, Greg. They're going to be like, why is this in here?
Why did Greg move around the corner from
exactly.
Little Debbie?
So we're talking leaving, cleaving, finances, and what? Little Debbie. Okay.
Little Debbie.
So we've got about about 2.5 minutes before we go to a hard break. So set up Green Lake, Wisconsin Family Camp. Set that up, and then we'll take it on the other side. But either one of you can take that story if you would.
Yeah, when we were at Green Lake Family Camp, oh gosh, years and years ago, there had been one thing that we had discussed prior to even getting engaged that came to fruition there at Green Lake. Before we got married, I'm adopted, and so I had gone to Greg and I said, you know, I just need to know before we take this next step in our relationship that you would at least be open to adopting someday. As an adopted child, I've had a great experience with that and just knew that that was something that I longed to do for another child, and specifically another little girl. And so Greg agreed to that.
I would have said yes to anything. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest.
I did bribe him with Little Debbie's, but
she
said yes.
She distracted me with Little Debbie.
And so fast forward, you know, many years, and we're at a family camp teaching, and you know, we actually sent couples out to pray and ask God, what is it that he's calling you to in your relationship? There's something bigger. What is it that he's calling you to?
Hmm. Yeah, as we walked around, boy, we had a very, very strong sense that God was saying it is now the season to adopt. Hmm. And so we both felt it clearly through that prayer, and we realized that we wanted to do this. We knew that it was going to be a little girl, and so we gave her a name. We named her Antoinette Rose after Aaron's mom and called her Nanny. You've distracted me from
We called her Swiss Annie from that day.
Yeah, from yeah. Annie. So based on that, so we literally just started as we were walking around. We started that day praying, God, bring us an Annie.
So the winds of change started to blow. How old was Garrison at that time?
He was 3.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or 2. I think he was 2.
So you came into marriage, Aaron, with the hopes to adopt, and you were stuffing mm-hmm. Little Debbie's in Greg's mouth. So he's like, sure, whatever
Swiss
you say.
Nutty buddy.
Can I have another?
But
I'll agree to that. Whatever.
And eventually, he really meant it. And the dream
yes.
was born in your heart as a couple.
I thought it was to adopt Little Debbie. I didn't realize it was someone else.
Annie.
Why split hairs? Debbie, Annie, let's do this. Okay. Talking to Dr. Greg Smalley and Aaron, talking about their adoption of Annie. Wait till you hear the story. We'll hear more from them when we come back. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my dear friends, Greg and Aaron Smalley, and we're talking about their amazing adoption story. When Aaron and Greg first got married, that was a conversation Aaron had because she herself was adopted, said, this needs to be part of the conversation. I want this to be maybe part of our story. Well, years later, their youngest at that time was 3 years old, and they were at a retreat, and they were speaking. They sent the couples off for walks, just dreamed together, and this dream kind of came to fruition, and it was time to take the next step. So, Aaron, take it from there.
Yeah, and you know, we felt like it was time to take it to the next step. We named a little girl, Antoinette Rose, like Greg said that day, Annie, and started praying for her and prayed by name. Our kids knew who she was and friends knew who she was. Our family members knew who Annie was, and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed, and nothing happened. And literally, we prayed for about 6 years, and nothing came to fruition.
I didn't remember that delay. Yeah. So sorry.
Yeah.
Wow.
6 years. And we really got to the place of, in that time, we had moved. My mom had passed away of lung cancer. We actually went to China to do a marriage event. And when we were there, I don't know, it became very strong to me that, you know, we either need to shut this door or we need to walk through it. But I didn't want to, I kept telling the Lord, I don't want to shut this door on adoption unless it's of you. So make it so clear that it's you. If you would mind, just drop a baby on our porch and then we'll know it's you.
Yeah.
We had a home that had no porch.
Yeah, we had moved from the house with a porch.
Yeah,
that's a bold
so
prayer.
I'll
take a porch and a baby.
Yeah, exactly. So
in a hot tub. I threw that one in there.
So as the years kind of went by, we really began to wonder, is this for us? Maybe it was just, you know, we were supposed to pray for this Annie wherever she was. And, you know, we kind of settled on that. But truly continue to seek the Lord and ask Him, what is it you want for us? We don't want to act without you leading us.
Yeah. So at some point, we had a friend who went to China, and we're just comparing stories. Mm-hmm. And so he was saying, hey, while I was there, did you guys get to go to an orphanage? And we went, no. And he goes, well, I did. He goes, boy, I held this little girl, just fell in love with her, held her the whole time I was there. And he said she needs some hand surgery. Well, the directors of this orphanage in China were Christian from America, and they just said they had made a lot of money and just said, God, what do you want us to do that's better than just going out and socializing and partying? And so they ended up in China starting mm-hmm. this special needs kind of home orphanage. And so he went there.
Mm-hmm. He went there. And was telling us about this place. And then he said, hey, I know that they want to do marriage stuff there in China. And this couple, the Brennemans, happened to be in Beijing. And so he said, hey, I'll send an email and introduce you to them and CC you on it. And then, you know, so I can connect you guys. So he did that. And it was probably the next week that Greg was gone. And I was standing at the counter in our kitchen. And we had a joint email account for work. And so I happened to pop on it and I saw an email from China. And I was like, oh, Greg didn't tell me that, you know, the couple, the orphanage directors emailed us back. And in that,
Greg doesn't check his email.
Yeah, anyone
we
who
all
knows
know
Greg
now.
Isn't surprised by this. But in that email, Kelly, our friend, had asked them about the little girl as well as introduced us. So in the response back, you know, the Brenneman said, hey, Smallies, it's great to meet you guys. And by the way, Kelly, our friend, Annie is doing great.
Wow.
And I read it probably six times and literally was like, who in the world is Annie? And as it sunk in, I went, oh, my word, that little girl that our friend Kelly held in Beijing, China, her name is Annie. Mm. So I called Greg right away and I said, you're not going to believe this. That little girl that Kelly told us about, we'd actually prayed for her the next several nights just because he was so enthralled with her. And so we prayed for this little girl, you know, with no name for the next couple nights. And then, you know, the next night to find out that her name was Annie. So I called Greg and I said, you're not going to believe it. He walks through the doors, you know, 5 minutes later. And literally he sat down and he looked at me and he said, this is a no-brainer. And
I was like, I'll book the tickets for tomorrow. Mm. Let's fly over there. Apparently they don't do it quite that way. there's paperwork and home studies. I was ready to go get her.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's like a billion.
I mean,
miss one. Come on.
But how exciting yet hard at the same time, because suddenly it seems that she's within your reach, but that she's not yet. I mean, mm-hmm. wow. So what were the next steps then?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, we had to decide that we were going to walk this forward because at that point we were in our 40s. Our youngest was 9 mm. and, you know, our oldest was 16. And we were like, really? Is this really, Lord, is this what you want for us? But in obedience, you know, we thought we would walk forward. I started calling adoption agencies, and of course they all said, you know, you can't do that. You can't pick a child and, you know, choose to adopt them in China. You have to allow China to assign you a child. But I continued to call, and they would give me the name of this person at this agency, and, you know, kind of lost heart as the phone calls went on, because I was like, Lord. So finally I called this one agency, and they put me in, they connected me with the head of the China division. And basically she said, you know what, Erin, I'm going to do everything I can. You guys hold up your end. You start your paperwork. And this lady checked to find out where Annie's paperwork was, because there's a whole system. And she wasn't even up for adoption yet. Yet she had been in that orphanage for, you know, a year and a half. She was about 16 months at that point. And so basically she said, this is the deal. No promises, but I will watch for her paperwork every single month. And if our agency can snab her paperwork when the list is released each, you know, each month we'll watch, then, and your paperwork is done on your side, then this might happen. But there are no guarantees. So again, we had to walk it out in faith.
And I had to do all the paperwork. I've written 20 books, and I'm telling you right now, that took me more time, effort, and energy to do all that was needed. But I tell you what, what was cool is that there's that verse, you know, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. That's Psalms 37:4. And this had become such a dream of ours, and we had so committed this to the Lord that it just, you know, none of that stuff mattered. I mean, we just kept walking and walking, doing whatever we had to do next, and just trusting. I tell you, the social worker was so frustrated with us at times, going, you guys have to let this go. Probably you're not going to get her, and you have to know that that's okay. And I remember just finally we sat her down and said, would you relax? I said, first of all, this is a God thing. We truly believe that God has led us to this spot, so we're okay. We trust him. If there's a better family for Annie, then we want that for her. But we're just going to keep walking in faith.
Good for
and
you.
I said, we know how to take care of our own hearts. Mm-hmm. If this doesn't work the way we had expected, man, we'll grieve that and we'll shed tears. And we're okay. Don't worry about it. Let's just keep moving forward.
Yeah, but in that, I knew that if we hadn't moved forward, that we would be in disobedience.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to look back and regret someday that we didn't keep walking forward, even if it meant my heart being broken. I had been through losing my mom, so I knew that God heals your heart when you have a major loss. And, you know, not that I don't hurt still, you know, some days for my mom, but I knew that if Annie wasn't ours, that she wasn't going to be in our home as our daughter. There was something about this season that we were to step in as her parents and pray for her like she was our own. And we started supporting her at her orphanage. And, you know, that there was a reason that we were to love this child. It was almost like the Lord said, I told you to love her well, and it doesn't matter what the end result is going to be.
Mm. So how much time passed between, okay, so Erin, for one thing, to have that social worker in China to have such favor to just let you be kind of almost a loophole to say, I'm going to make special space and room for you in my heart and in the process even, you know. So how much time from that conversation till the next thing happened for you guys?
This was the end of February, beginning of March of 1 year. And then literally we waited every single month until January of the next year. Every single month the list would come out, and we knew the list was coming out. And they release these lists usually at the beginning of the month of kids that are available for adoption. And I had friends that were in that world, and they would say, oh, the list is coming out. And I'd say, I know. And then no Annie. So month after month after month, there was no Annie on the list. And my fear was that they were going to miss her and, you know, miss her paperwork. And then literally it was January, mid-January of 2010. And we were sitting at home, you know, just a casual Monday night, and we were just about to watch a show we had taped, and I got a phone call. My phone rang, and I recognized the number as our agency, and I was like, what in the world? Why are they calling me on a Monday night? And so I answered, and it was that night that all of our dreams came true.
Well, she starts to scream. like a scream, like there's an intruder. I mean, one of those just scream, scream, scream. And you were somewhere. So I just remember come running. Garrison comes running.
The kids were asleep already in bed. And basically what she said is, tonight we got Annie's file. She's yours.
Mm, my goodness.
Yeah. And what was so cool, I remember just huddling as a family, mm-hmm. just with big tears and just all screaming and shouting and celebrating and just praying. And just thanking God for his faithfulness, mm-hmm. and for entrusting us. And because we'd really had made this such a family season of prayer and going, if this is going to happen, it's going to happen because we're praying this thing into fruition.
You know what just blows my mind is you're at this camp in Wisconsin. You're ministering to other couples, encouraging them to dream. And then God just breathes this dream to you, into your spirit. And you know, from me listening, the initial thought is that, oh, so sweet that you named her, but God named her and he gave you her name. And I marvel at that he does that. He breathes fresh life mm-hmm. into our dreams. And so from the point of that phone call to the point when, what happened after that, I should ask?
Yeah, it was, the moment we found out, then it was just a matter of, being,
going through the
given
process.
Permission to travel and get your flights and all that. But I remember that Isaiah 7:11 says this, that ask the Lord your God for a sign of confirmation and make it as difficult as you want, as high as the heaven or as deep as the place of the dead. I just love that verse because I tell you what, that part of how he was so faithful is that in moments we were doubting, in moments that we were so frustrated. I mean, I remember getting to a place that I was, once we found out that she was ours, the most painful part for me was seeing her experience firsts without us. And so we would get pictures of a birthday or of Christmas or whatever, just, of Easter, of just these things that that's how it hit me. Finally, at some point, I remember sitting on our porch and just weeping, going, it's too painful to see these pictures mm-hmm. of her, because it should be us. It should be in our home. What's taking them so long? Mm-hmm. But God's faithfulness, it's signs. We found out, at one point they were just telling us more about her. She had a nanny the whole time. And so remember, we named this child Antoinette Rose after Aaron's mother and we're calling her Annie. We'll take one guess at what her nanny's name turned out to be.
Rose.
Yeah. Mm. Isn't that crazy? Mm. I mean, come on, tell me, what are the odds
that
Rose is taking care of Annie?
And
that's
China.
what we had named her. Mm. And I think it was those things. He just gave us these little signs along the way. Mm-hmm. Them as big hugs and wet kisses from God, just going, man, I love you guys, and you're being faithful to walk this out. And look, I know in your times of discouragement or doubt, look, she's yours. Mm. Just be patient.
What a story. And they're putting this journey in a book. I'm so excited to see that book. When we come back, we're going to talk about, I think what they call it, the gotcha day, when you get to bring that precious child home, what that process was like. And there might be some twists and turns in the story that might surprise you. But stay tuned, because it's a fantastic story. Talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley about their beautiful adoption story, Sweet Annie. She's just a little spitfire. You'd love her. Don't go away. More with them when we come back. Just the way it is. Sometimes we get it right, sometimes we get it wrong, but God is with us, and he's with us through all of it. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I love talking to my friends, Greg and Aaron Smalley. Today we have the special treat of getting the behind-the-scenes look at their adoption story. And if you just tuned in, you got to go back and catch the podcast, hear the whole story. But we've only got one segment left, and I want to make sure we cover two points that are really key, because, I mean, God answered some significant prayers. I mean, thinking back to you guys walking, praying, dreaming together, and God gives you this name of this girl. We're going to name her Annie. And 6 years pass, and then you adopt this little girl who's named Annie, and the way that God connected you, absolutely amazing. But it's easy, as you hear those things, to think that this is such a poetic story that it's not, does not, you know, there aren't hardships laced in between and woven into the story, and there are. So talk about the special needs issue and the bonding issue and how you came through those. Erin, we'll start with you.
Yeah, it was, you know, I love what you said, Susie, about it being glamorized and just, you know, this easy process. It was difficult. And, you know, as we learned more about Annie, she had some significant physical needs. At least they were displayed to us as that. She has, it's called amniotic band syndrome, and she has a cleft lip and palate. She has a hand deformity and then also a club foot. And so hearing these things, we were told she's going to need physical therapy, you know, several times a week, occupational therapy, several times a week, numerous surgeries. I mean, it was overwhelming. And I can just remember laying awake at night talking to the Lord and just saying, are you kidding me? I have three kids already. And how, and we were living in small town Arkansas. I mean, I was going to have to drive hours and hours to get medical care, specialized medical care, either in St. Louis or in Little Rock. And, you know, it really scared me. And I just kept saying, Lord, you have brought this. And if you are asking me to do this, you will provide a way and you will bring provision for all of it. You'll give me the energy. You'll give me everything we need. And, you know, crazy enough, 10, 11 months later, we end up moving to Colorado Springs, you know, in great top-notch hospital, children's hospital in Denver, an hour away. Plus, we end up finding out that one of the top hand surgeons in the country just happened to semi-retire in Colorado Springs, you know, earlier that year. And he actually performed Annie's last hand surgery.
Wow.
And created a fifth finger for her based on a skin graft from her hip. Took skin from her hip and built a pinky finger for her that moves. We were just thrilled with it. She'll take it and she'll move it and go, look, Mom, it moves. I'm like, I know. God gave you that finger. Take care of it.
I got to ask you this real quick, if you don't mind. I don't know this answer to this part of your story. So did you adopt her kind of sight unseen based on Kelly's just being enamored with her? You'd never physically been with her. It was her name.
That was all it was.
Wow.
We prayed for an Annie. He introduced us to Annie.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, take it from
that
there.
That was the connection.
Absolutely
really.
Amazing.
Yeah. We thought we'd rename a child. We never thought that would be the connection, but once we found out that her name, you know, for me, you're right, because I mean, there's amazing parts of what God will do and how at times he will move heaven and earth as we dream and request and pray, and that's true. And yet sometimes, you know, the dream will look very different when we actually, the day, you know, her gotcha day came. So we get the call, we're at the hotel, the social workers are bringing her up. And so we opened the door. So we're all there as a family. Took the entire family there. We're all a part of it. We open the door, knock on the door, open the door. And we all just, you know, Annie, you know, it's like, welcome home. It's your family. We love you. And she takes one look at all of us, breaks free of her social worker, and runs down the hall. She's gone. Like, she just took off. And Garrison looks and goes, well, will they bring us up another one? And so I said, no, that's who we want. Let's go find her. I tell you what, just seeing her, I've never seen a child wail at that depth of hurt and pain and grief. I mean, her nanny was her nanny for almost 3 years. That was her mama.
Mm-hmm.
And I always said it was easy for her to love me and to love our children because it cost her nothing. There wasn't a dad in the picture. But to love Erin meant that she had to give up her nanny, her mama. And that's why even for the first 6 weeks, Annie would have nothing to do with Erin.
And Erin.
And that's even understating it.
Mm-hmm. Erin, I mean, what, after all the prayer, this originated really in your heart first.
Yeah.
What,
she was adopted. I mean,
did that do to you, Erin?
It was devastating. And I really wanted to handle this well. And I would pray. I'd wake up in the morning and I'd think, okay, Lord, today's the day. I'm going to walk over to that crib. And this child is going to say, Mama, and, you know, want me to hold her and, you know, not kick and bite and pinch and headbutt me when she sees me. And, you know, day after day, it didn't happen. And, you know, I feel like God specifically gave us those, just the names, and there were several dates that were significant because he knew that there was going to be this season that was super difficult. I mean, here I was like, Lord, really? You brought my entire family to China to watch me be beat by a three-year-old? I mean, this is not what I had in mind.
Yeah, I had to rent Aaron a separate hotel room because Annie would not allow her to be in the same room.
Oh, my goodness.
She would sit, I would be holding her, and she'd be rubbing my face. And
kissing his face.
I love Daddy. I mean, who blames her, really? It's me.
Except it wasn't I love Daddy. She only spoke Chinese, Greg.
Well, it was the
You're
Chinese
assuming
words
that's
for
what
that.
She was saying. But anyway,
whiny.
It's my story. I will tell it how I want to.
Oh, Aaron.
It was brutal.
And I can remember literally we were in, you know, this province in China in the middle of nowhere, and it was so dark. I mean, we just felt the oppression, and we got to back to Beijing to take our flight home to Chicago. And I can just remember looking at Greg and saying, have fun, have a great 13-hour flight because you're it and I'm not. And so once we got home, Greg eventually had to go back to work, and I kind of laughed because I looked at her and I'm like, yeah, I'm it. And I continued to stand firm in that place. Somebody told us before we went, to forgive her in Jesus' name, to constantly, if Annie did something that hurt me, that rejected, you know, pushed me away. And I mean, this woman had no idea what we were going to go through, you know, to say out loud, I forgive you in Jesus' name. And I did that throughout the trip, and it kept my heart open and prepared for when she was going to be ready. And I stood firm believing that she would be ready and that she would let me in. So constantly, you know, I'm mama, and mama feeds you, changes you, dresses you, and you're going to fight me on it, but I'm going to stand firm. I'm your mama. And so day after day, it was summertime, Arkansas, hot, humid. And so I had heard that swimming was attaching. So every single day we would go swimming, and every single day I'd stand in the water with my arms extended up saying, Annie, jump to mama. And she would shake her head, and she would jump to one of the girls because Greg was back at work. And so every single day, and I would just pray, Lord, give me the strength, give me the courage, jump to mama. Nope, nope, nope. So one day we went swimming, you know, it was day after day after day we went swimming. I was like, okay, once again, I held my hands up, jumped to mama. And the girls were like, literally like just pushing me aside, like, stop, mom, just let her jump to us. And instead, Annie was on the side of the pool, and she looked at the girls, and she looked at them and pointed her finger, and she said, no, mama. And she jumped into my open arms, and I embraced her when she got to me, and that was it. That was it. I called Greg sobbing, saying, whatever just happened, I'm in. Yeah. It's happened.
The season
I'm
of Greg was over.
Yes. She finally woke up. No, I'm kidding. But we have 1 minute until we pray. But give me a couple word description in both of your mind's eye. How you describe Annie now?
Annie is a lover of life. Mm. She has just full energy, lots and lots of energy and spunk, like you've said. And she just brings delight to any room.
She has such a deep love for the Lord. That's one of the last surgeries that we did, kind of is the music was playing as she was, you know, being taken under from the medication. She just kept repeating, be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid, Jesus is with me. I mean, she just said that until she was mumbling it, and then she was out.
The impact that you've had on this child's life and the ripple effect all the way around, it's just staggering. I mean, I thank you for going through the valley because it's such a picture of what God has done for us. I love you guys so much. As we wrap up, I'm wondering, Aaron, if you'd pray for that person listening who's been afraid to adopt but sensing that's part of their story, would you pray?
Lord, what a privilege to pray for anyone out there who is considering giving someone the gift of adoption. Not only is it a gift to that child, but a gift in return. Lord, my life has been so blessed because of adoption. Both through my own adoption and through adopting Annie. So, Lord, I pray that you just lead them, you guide them. Lord, you show them what their first step is. And, Lord, then just make the way like you do, Jesus, as you unfold the details and just the directions, Lord. We can trust you with that. Mm. So, Lord, I pray that someone listening is prompted, that that they, too, can share in just bringing a child a family. Lord, and being that family to a child, Lord, what a blessing. Jesus, we love you and we thank you in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Greg and Aaron, love you guys to pieces. Thanks for the time today.
Thanks for having us.
Love talking with you. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a little bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Share it with a friend, and I'll meet you back here next time.